Today on Tim and Sid, can Leon Draisaitl continue to be the guy for Edmonton?
Will the Habs be sellers between now and the NHL trade deadline?
An unbelievable. First time ever someone's used that headline. Or maybe not. Tim and Sid live on Sportsnet. Sportsnet 590 The Fan starts now.
The fact that you used that was unbelievable.
Well played. Well played, Tim.
Hashtag Tim and Sid. Of course, I go by the name of the kid. Famous. Wow. This here is the Tim and Sid Show. You are now tuned in, coast to coast, entertaining the masses. Sports entertainment. Yeah. It's about to get started. Sit back, enjoy the show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Tim and Sid for this February 19, 2020. Alongside Sid Zixero, I am Tim McAuliffe, and we will be your tour guides for the next 2 hours of what we hope is edutainment, coming to you live, as always, from the Sportsnet studios in downtown Toronto.
We always welcome you as a third member of our conversation. If you want to interact with us live during the show, at Tim and Sid on Twitter is the place to do it. And with a match game already bubbling on the internet, feels like it could be one of those days. We also produce content for Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Make sure to check out Tim and Sid on all your favorite platforms, kids.
Except for one. We aren't on that one that you like a lot.
What's the platform?
We've got a jam-packed show heading into a pretty good matchup on Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey between the Oilers and the Bruins. Top two scorers.
Oh, the one where I'm naked. That's what you're talking about?
In the NHL, Leon Draisaitl, David Pastrnak going toe-to-toe, blow for blow. So rest assured, as the promos say, it's on Sportsnet.
It's on Sportsnet.
That game is on Sportsnet.
Coming up.
Oilers-Bruins.
Oilers-Bruins.
On Sportsnet.
Two first-place teams.
On Sportsnet.
Coming up, over the next... Have you seen the Brian Burke on Sportsnet trade deadline one?
Yeah, he gets excited.
Where he looks like he's going to choke me through the television. Have you seen that one?
Well, that's normally when he's sitting right beside you. That's, he comes in studio.
That's a
on
natural
Thursdays.
Reaction. Yeah. On Sportsnet, get over here. Coming up, over the next 2 hours of whole great goodness, we will discuss the Leafs buried in Pittsburgh. What's going on with you?
The Leafs buried by their coach.
What's going on with you?
I'm a little distracted by
a
headline.
Cut the music. What are you distracted by?
Maybe we need to save this. There's a headline. Don't cut the music. My name's on the show, too.
But I'm younger. Cut the music. I'm younger and lighter. Cut the music. What are you distracted by?
Lighter.
I'm technically lighter. Yes, we had.
Are you sure, though?
Were you not there that day that we made each other? Yes, I'm lighter. I'm technically lighter, yes.
I don't know if you know this, but weights tend to fluctuate.
You want to do this again? Do you want to do this again?
Maybe.
We have a ton of stuff today. I don't know if it's the time.
Maybe not today, but if you want to get on a scale again and check yourself.
Oh, like, I will.
The lighter thing with such confidence again.
One of us will be checking ourselves by the end of it.
I haven't weighed myself in a while. But again, like, it means nothing when you have the barrel that you have.
I think it means everything. You know why? Because it's analytics.
Muscles.
It's stats.
Muscles.
Now, I don't know, because we had the Mary Brown shoot Friday, so I might have put on a couple. And it was delicious.
And it was delicious.
So why are you distracted?
We're doing the back and forth.
We'll continue to do the back and forth. Right. The Leafs lost. It happened.
I just got sent this headline, and you're going to regret this immediately, but I just got sent this headline. Footballer is suspended 5 years in France after biting opponent's penis during a match, and his victim gets a 6-month ban, which is even more complicated. So once again, footballer suspended 5 years in France after biting opponent's penis. Player bit one of his opponents below the belt during a fight in November of 2019. Victim required 10 stitches and had to take 4 days off work. Amateur players, local league.
The victim got a 6-inch suspension?
No. 6-month
suspension. I'm sorry.
Suspension.
I misheard you.
So there's a lot to chew on here. Would you like to get back, though, to where we were?
Stop being a dick and read the opening.
We can go back to the music, please.
Music, please. Unbelievable. And I am lighter than him.
The Leafs buried in Pittsburgh.
The Leafs buried by their coach.
The Leafs buried by Mitch Marner.
Leon Draisaitl.
David Pastrnak.
Biting penises.
The Habs nemesis in Detroit.
Way to pick it up, Timmy. Alec Martinez dealt.
Giancarlo Stanton.
Ryan Newman.
And walking home. Amazing story. Forget the one that I just read.
Let's ignore it.
Amazing story. Daytona 500. Almost unbelievable. Forget believable. Forget belief. Unbelievable, given the pictures that we saw from the final lap. But this is a feel-good story that we can all enjoy.
Absolutely. Because I was on here not that long ago with you, ripping NASCAR up and down.
Right.
And then I get home, and they got the black tarps around Ryan Newman's car at the end of Daytona. I'm literally calling him, freaking out, going, listen, I know what I said, but this is a story. And thankfully, Ryan Newman not only recovered, not only is here.
Walked out of the hospital.
The picture of him walking out with his two kids today.
Video.
Video. I just saw the stills. Yeah, there was video.
His wife put video online, too.
Look, it is the feel-good moment of the day. And I think in sports, considering what happened to Jay Bonemeister and Ryan Newman, we've been kind of lucky the last little while, right?
Without a doubt.
Sports has given us some hits over the last six to 12 months, and we all know what they've been. These are two stories where it was dicey, and we're very lucky both guys are still here. So shout out the Newmans.
Yeah, when the tarp came out, I was dreading the conversation that we might have to have on the show. And to see him walk out of the hospital today is just unbelievable. Brought a smile to my face.
I legit called him that night. I was freaking out because I'd been such an idiot earlier in the show, ripping NASCAR. And I'm like,
the two aren't intertwined. You can dislike a sport and then have compassion for someone who suffers a terrible loss.
Right. But I was a bit of a smartass earlier in the day, and you mentioned speeds and what these guys do, and I belittled it, and I shouldn't have. And I just felt it was horrifying. And of course, this is me making it about me as I usually do. But again, shout out to the Newmans and Ryan Newman for being able to walk out of a hospital today. It was unbelievable. Yeah, so that's good. Greatness. Coming up, guest wise on today's show. Elliot Friedman with rumors flying around ahead of the NHL's trade deadline. And a few things going on in Leafland
There's a few things going on right now. All that plus a delicious matchup. Top two scorers in the National Hockey League going in Edmonton tonight, where a banged-up Oilers squad hosts the Bruins. Louis DeBrusk, he covers the Oilers. I don't know if you know this. His son plays for the Bruins. So something's telling me right here, 6-0. Now, I'm a journalist at heart, so this is investigative journalism at its best. Something tells me that Louis DeBrusk, covering the Oilers and having a son on the Bruins, may know a little something about this matchup.
Got some intel? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he might have some intel on this matchup, so we'll have him on. But should we just sit here and hammer the panic button for Leafs Nation and get it over with? I know that there is a great matchup tonight. I'm excited about a lot of things, including hammering the Astros again and who's the next to get in line to hammer the Astros and whether the Yankees feel comfortable enough to hammer. But do you just want to start this entire show by hammering the panic button for Leafs Nation?
If I can find it, because last time we brought this up, I had my issues.
Yeah, now it does. There's a bunch of buttons.
It says panic. Got it. I think Leaf fans hit this in the first period last night. I don't know if they need this right now.
They might have hit it in the third period in Buffalo.
Yep. Or the second. The Leafs. Go. That's it? No, I got a few more things. They did lose last night. They've dropped six of their last nine games.
I got a soundtrack for
you. Go ahead. Give me a little something here. 21 games left in their season. They get the Pens again tomorrow night at home. They go to Tampa next Tuesday. Then next Thursday. Next Thursday, they go to Florida, where it's a battle for third in the Atlantic in front of 50 fans in Sunrise.
No, there'll be more because the Leafs are there.
Hit me again. You're right. Hit me. 100 fans in Sunrise when the Leafs and the Snowbirds congregate. We're also days away from the trade deadline. Don't know if you heard. Some things need to be fixed in Leafland, Tim. Can this, in fact, easy question, be fixed?
Fixed.
I use the word fixed.
Can this be fixed?
Fixed.
Man, whatever the hell that was last night in Pittsburgh was worse than being the fire hydrant at the Westminster Dog Show. You add the insult of whatever in the good name of Drake Barahowski that was early on in Pittsburgh to the third period in Buffalo, and you have got full-blown panic and a good internal look at what the Leafs actually have. But before, and I know this is going to go on, I can feel Twitter and I can feel people moving towards their Twitter machines. Before anyone accuses us of going too far with this conversation or suggests in any way, shape, or form, Sid Sixero, that we are overreacting to whatever this is going to be over the next little while, here is head coach Sheldon Keefe going in last night with perhaps his most damning stuff since taking over the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Well, it looks like the process that we want to go through is to just get embarrassed enough to the point where we just really look in the mirror and recognize what's required for us to be able to compete at a high level at this stage of the season.
Get embarrassed enough. All right, I can feel you. Tim and Sid going too hard. Keefe number two. This on the one thing that went wrong. One thing. Right, Sheldon? One thing?
It's a different issue again today. We've talked about that. It's been a little bit different each night. So if you had special teams on your bingo card of things that are hurting our group, then you're happy today and get that one filled. But I think ultimately, you know, as we look at the different things, whether it's giving up leads in the third period a couple weeks ago or getting scored on early on home ice or today, special teams or what have you, I think the common denominator is just the overall urgency and competitiveness of the group. I mean, you know, special teams are the issue today, but we get a power play early in the game. We get a chance to take a hold of the game on the road against a very good team, and we're just not there. They're just they're competing at a higher level than we are, and then they get their chance, and they just make it pretty clear what the difference is.
All right, calm down, Sixero. You're out of control, all right?
I haven't said anything yet.
Just calm down.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't have to raise your voice, okay? Just relax.
I have no idea what
this man. Be easy. I know it's too much. Jake Muzzin forced into a leadership role. Mirrors the coach. Maybe a step further. Here's calm down, Sid.
I'm still thinking about that story from France you were talking about.
Jake Muzzin, num, num, num.
Take a bite out of this.
We got to find the urgency, the passion, the love of the game, the love to compete for each other. All that needs to come. I don't know why it's not there. Responding the right way, getting mad at yourself for not performing the right way.
Sid, stop. They're already dead. Please.
I haven't said a word.
Sid. Relax.
I have not said anything during
this show.
Take
it easy. You always do this. You get really upset and you start yelling and screaming about what they need to do. Take it easy. 12 to 24 hours can often add a sobering thought. What's the saying? Like, wait 24 hours after getting mad or
reacting?
Write
the angry email. Don't send it. Come in the next day and send it to, like, more people you were expecting to send it to. Is that the saying?
I think it's wait 24 hours before doing any of that.
Okay, but then do it anyway.
If it doesn't bother you a day later, it's probably not that important.
Yeah,
that's the idea.
Usually stay bothered a day later.
Mitch Marner with a day to let it marinate. Here's Mitch today.
We get down these games early, and then, you know, I think we just give up and we leave our goalie out to dry. Without our goalies, these last couple of games, it could have been way more than five goals. So just got to make sure we get our compete level up. We need to be way better. We all know we have the skill, but we don't have the work ethic every single night and every single guy buying in. So skill only takes you so far, and then, the work ethic takes you to a whole nother level. So, like I said, that's something that we need to be consistently better with, and we owe it to ourselves and owe it to each other in this room.
Okay, got embarrassed enough to the point where we look in the mirror and recognize what's required of us to be able to compete at a high level, Sheldon Keefe. That's February 18th, by the way. February 18th. You know, how many, 60 games in this season?
They got 21 left, the Leafs.
Mm-hmm. So 61. We've got to be better. That's unacceptable. We have to find the urgency and passion again. February 18th. You want a February 19th? Mitch Marner. We know we need to change our work ethic. How bad is it? Not Habs bad? Unsalvageable bad? Where are we?
Where are we?
How bad is it, Doc?
How bad is it?
They are not making the playoffs. They're not. You know why they're not?
I've heard you say this before. So
this is really simple. I have been pretty annoyed at what I've heard all day today and most of what I heard last night. This is not complicated with this group. Here's why the Toronto Maple Leafs are not making the playoffs. Because they don't want that smoke like that. They don't want it as much as other teams.
I felt like you tried to go kids there and you kind of missed it.
I'm not trying to go kids, but hey, TikTok, they don't want to make the playoffs.
Hello, fellow kids. They don't want that smoke like that.
They don't want the smoke like that.
And the smoke and the like that smoke.
All right. Listen, influencers, Chance the Rapper, they don't want the smoke like
Sorry.
That.
Sorry. I didn't mean to slow you down.
You're not slowing me down. I got an hour. They like it easy.
Hour 45.
Like I've been saying for the entire year and most years before that. They like it easy. They thought Sunday against Buffalo was going to be easy. And they played like it. Last night they see Malkin leave. You and I are sitting here watching Malkin leave pregame. It was an illness. The second, and not all of them don't want it. A couple guys on the team want it. Watch them play. You can see which guys want it. But 85% of the roster really doesn't want it that bad. They see Malkin leave the ice. We got an easy night. We respect Crosby, but Malkin's gone. We got an easy night. Mentally, most of those guys got in that space. This is not complicated. This is not complicated. And when they miss the playoffs on April 5th and for the next 3 weeks, watch the grams of the kids. They're going to be really torn up. They're not in the playoffs. You think they want Tampa right now? You think they want Boston right now, these kids? Making $15, $16 million this season. You think they want that in the first round of the playoffs? Let's say they get in. This team doesn't want it like that. It's not built like that. They got a couple guys on the roster. That's why Muzzin's going to get re-signed. Not many more like that. And it's obvious with every passing period that goes on as we end this campaign. They're going to lose tomorrow night. They're going to get smoked down in Tampa next Tuesday. They're going to get their ass handed to them next Thursday in Florida in the biggest game of their season because they're not wired to win because you paid them all for nothing. Not one single thing on their resume demanded $15 to $16 million a year. Nothing. Tavares, who I'm in love with, has one playoff win in his life. One playoff series win in his life at this level. He got 16. This team doesn't want it like that. The second they're down, oh, okay, we got to go to the middle of the ice to try and kill this deficit? Yeah, I'm going to stay out here. Nylander is going to stay outside. He's going to find Matthews on the outside of the other side of the ice, and they're going to try and peel back a 3-0 deficit. This team's a joke. This team is an absolute joke. And Sheldon Keefe needs to watch himself a little bit. Sheldon Keefe's been an NHL head coach 8 minutes. And if Mike Babcock would talk about his team like that, he'd get destroyed. The substitute teacher came in and everyone felt good for about 4 weeks. Yes. I have big issues with Sheldon Keefe talking the way he talked last night about that group.
You don't think that Mike Babcock did that early? You don't think that Mike Babcock did that often? Listen.
But he took heat for it. That's my point.
No, he took heat at the end for it. At the start, it was the tough coach teaching these young kids how to play. This is the part of this that I'll completely agree with because I don't want to hear this, oh, this back-to-back against a team like the Pittsburgh Penguins with the work ethic of a Sidney Crosby and on down through the lineup can teach this young Leafs team how to win, if you didn't learn from the misery provided by the Boston Bruins in each of the last two rounds on how to do the little things that make you win hockey games when they matter most, you may never get it. And that, to me, would be the most concerning part for Leaf fans, is that a bunch of guys that went through this haven't learned yet and are going to learn. And I don't give a bleep what a coach says. If you know that's the problem, then preach to the problem. But Sheldon Keefe did not hold back. That's why you're not holding back. It's the same thing. They're seeing the same things. This might be a compliment to you, so don't get all upset.
And thank you for calling me thin.
You and Sheldon Keefe might be seeing the same thing, and that's the same problem that has been with this team throughout. And I don't know how many times you have to say it. Fan base is screaming, give us a defenseman. Give us some grit. Nah, you went out and got Dennis Malgin today.
Right? Oh, let's talk about that.
Right?
Thank you. Thank you.
No, I don't want to talk about that.
I kind of want to
give me
talk
a couple more
it.
Seconds here.
Okay, go ahead. Let's circle back on that.
I get it that stats are like Katy Perry. They show a lot, but they don't show everything. But this is a super stat. No team's ever won the Stanley Cup when finishing lower than 20th in the league in goals against average. Do you know where the Leafs rank right now in goals against average?
I'm going to guess below 20th in the
league. 27th in the National Hockey League. And you're going to talk about expectations and what you want to be and where you should be and go out and get another offensively gifted guy because he played with Austin Matthews in Zurich? Like, what are we talking about here? It's simple. It's been simple. They're not good enough defensively. I don't care what goalie's in there. I don't care if it's Freddie Anderson. I don't care if it's Jack Campbell. I agree with almost everything that you said, except for one.
Shoot.
I'll take issue with the $16 million thing. Because I do it with every sport. Sometimes you have to have patience. The last time I looked, Matthews is 22. He's got 43 goals, right? Nylander's 23. Marner's 22. Morgan Riley's 25. You keep bringing up the paid too early stuff. And I agree to a certain point. But Alexander Ovechkin was paid in 2008. And Alexander Ovechkin took 10 years from getting paid in 2008
right.
to winning his Stanley Cup in 2018. Is it not still a success, even though it took 10 years for it to come to fruition?
It was a success. What the Capitals didn't do, though, was pay four guys like Alexander Ovechkin. They paid Alexander Ovechkin. William Nylander's making $9 million. William Nylander and Sidney Crosby are making the same amount of money this year.
This year.
Soak that one in. They're making the same money. Ovechkin got paid early and had to prove himself. You are correct. The Leafs took their core four, technically,
mm-hmm.
and paid them all like Ovechkin. And you have no dimes and nickels for most other dudes. Hopefully they re-sign Muzzin. I like Muzzin. But you really don't have any wiggle room with anyone else unless Andreas Janssen is out for 6 months, which we didn't even get to yet. He's gone 6 months after knee surgery today. So they have an extra $3 million to spend.
Okay, but stop bringing up the what they're getting paid now. Like if,
but it's all relevant. You don't think that's relevant?
No,
that's
no.
That's hugely relevant.
But is it about that they're getting paid $16 million this year, or is it about their cap number?
Both. I think it's both. Like, how do you separate the two? Not only does it kill you against the cap for four guys to be slightly underperforming, and not offensively. I understand the numbers Nylander's put up. I understand the numbers Matthews has put up. But if you know anything about hockey, there's more aspects to the game than that. And if you watched last night, you understand there's more aspects to the game than that. So you have four guys who aren't playing complete hockey making that kind of money. You have no wiggle room. Zero. You're lucky you got Jack Campbell the way you got him. And you're lucky that
okay,
I don't want to say you're lucky.
You're
guys out 6 months.
You're paying $5 million. You're paying Morgan
Riley. But $5
Riley.
Million isn't nuts.
And they've got cap space. So when you ask me, they fix it. Yeah, you. If you think that someone's going to be on LTIR for the rest of the season, And if it's a wink, wink, and a nudge, nudge, who cares? You can go out and get a Matt Dumba.
If it's that.
So that's wiggle room.
If it's that. Can't, like, Morgan Riley's coming back. So that money's coming back eventually. You have about $3 million with Johnson now out. It's tight. Some money will have to leave in a deal like that. That's my only point here. My point is, you have just paid, if you pay Ovechkin and then give yourself room, that's one thing. That's not what happened here. What happened here is everyone got paid like Ovechkin.
But what you're saying is there's no patience for these guys to learn this. And what I'm telling you is that Ovechkin took 10 years to learn it. He went away for a while. Like, we remember that. I know that 30 goals for most people is not going away. But Alexander Ovechkin got paid and then had a little fun, right? Like, we remember those years. Yep. But when you're in the middle of it, like the Leafs are right now, there tends to be panic. And sometimes you can preach patience while still saying, you guys aren't good enough to lollygag around and act like your blank goals are good enough. Because they're not when you're 27th in the league in goals against. And that's not just defense. Yeah. That's not just goaltending. That's everybody.
And again, Frederik Andersen has an .871 save percentage in his last 12 games. Everyone has struggled here to get to this point.
Well, they can go out and get Alec Martinez. Wait, no, they can't.
No, they can't.
As we suggested would happen yesterday.
Where did he
was dealt to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
2 second-round picks got you Alec Martinez, by the way, 6-0. So your wiggle room, again, you don't have to give up money going in.
No, but if you have second-round picks, if you have 2 second-round picks,
correct.
Leafs are getting a little thin in terms of the next couple of drafts with how many picks they can trade.
I would suggest to you, and I don't know if this is a problem that you deal with at the deadline or this is a problem that you sit down with everybody and you deal with in the off season. And I wouldn't be surprised if Kyle Dubas, Brendan Shanahan, and the Leafs management don't look at the last little while and say, you know what? There's no quick fix here. We got to do this the right way.
We're going to see what the message is from the board to Kyle Dubas very soon. That's what's the most interesting part of this to me between now and Monday's trade deadline, 3 p.m. Eastern.
Like, you got to make the playoffs?
What's the message? Is it that? Or is it, look, if you want to trade Tyson Barry, I'm not going to stop you. Like, what's the message? I don't know what the message is. I don't roll in those circles. You know what I mean? But you know what I'm saying,
no,
Tim?
No, I just love it.
You know what I'm saying?
I love the Tyson Barry year after Muzzin was the problem. When you picked him up, he wasn't good enough, and now he's your savior and your leader, and you got to resign him.
Jake Muzzin's going to get like an extension soon. He's getting an extension soon, and I'm all for it. I'm here for the Jake Muzzin extension.
We're going to give a chance for Leaf Nation to vent and the rest of Canada to have at her. We've got a match game coming up.
Yes, a match game.
Are the Habs in worse shape than the Leafs? They just got swept by Detroit.
How you hit me with that, Rick?
And Leon for Hart?
That I'm with you on.
Next in Tim and Sid.
Welcome back, everybody. Tim and Sid on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet. Coming up, Elliot Friedman. We'll discuss the Leafs, we'll discuss the Habs, we'll discuss the Oilers, we'll discuss the trade deadline. Louis DeBrusque will join us live from Rexall Place a little later on. We have the Oilers and the Bruins tonight live on Sportsnet. Two first-place teams. What did I say, Rexall Place? Rogers Place is what I meant to say.
Oh, snap. Rogers what did
place.
You just do?
Might as well said Northlands Coliseum.
You're fired.
Sorry, Rogers. Sorry. Rogers Place.
Northlands Coliseum Rogers tonight place. In Edmonton.
Somewhere John, our friend John, is smiling.
When do the Jays get to Skydome?
It will always be Skydome tonight. It will always be Skydome tonight.
Unshockingly, a few tweets after that opening block.
I would assume.
Hand of Cod, of course, writes in and says, is there any way the Leafs can wear buzzers underneath their jerseys?
Hashtag
Tim and Sid.
Hey-o.
Hashtag Leafs.
But they would just say it's bad tattoos.
Steven writes in and says, the difference is Ovechkin signed for 13 years while Matthews signed for 5. Correct? Yes. Very correct, Steven. They will all be gone in 5 years elsewhere. Window for the Leafs, unlike Caps, is tiny. Preaching patience and comparing to Capitals is ridiculous. If you treat 22-year-old 50-goal scorers like junk, then they might go somewhere after 5 years. If you treat them well and try and support them with the right players in and around them, then you might have a chance to retain. If you have success within the 5 years, then guys are more apt to stay as well. So used to having guys run out of here so quickly, Leaf fans are lining up to do this to the best young core they've seen since what? The 60s? Stop. Full stop, Leaf fans. When's the last time you had a core like this?
I'm not going to dispute that, but this is still a franchise that hasn't won a playoff series since 2004.
Answer the question. When is the last time you had anything like this?
It's been a long time since you had an offensive team like this that can't play defense.
Since Dave Keon came from St. Mike's. That's the last time this franchise is at anywhere close to what they have right now. I don't care that they haven't won a series.
You better care they haven't won a series.
They can grow. They can get older.
They don't have time to
get
better.
You just
read the tweet. They don't have time to grow that. They don't have the kind of time.
Yeah, if you chase them out of town.
But who's chasing out of town? Matthews could walk out of town in like 4 years contractually.
He could. Or you could scream and yell about how crappy this team is and then just... It's a foregone conclusion.
So you don't think Leaf fans are allowed to scream and yell about how crappy this team is playing?
You're allowed to do it.
Right.
You're always allowed. Don't put those words in my mouth.
Careful.
Do not even come close.
Careful.
Is saying Ovechkin signed for 13 years completely correct? Yeah. Matthews is signed for 5. Completely correct. But the idea that he's just going to bounce after 5 is kind of sort of self-defeating, is it not?
Well, they're Leaf fans. That's why they would think that.
I know.
Yeah.
But they're Leaf fans. That's why they get mad at Larry Murphy. How'd that work out for you? Like, it's the same thing over and over and over. You panic way too early. You cause the change way too early. And then you lament the change.
But that's where I'm just going to disagree with you.
And that happens in a lot of Canadian markets.
It does. But you keep saying it's the same old thing. This cap system does not make it the same old thing. In no way, shape, or form does this math make any of this scenario with any Canadian team, especially the Leafs, the same old
thing. I'm not saying it's easy.
No, I know you're not saying that. No, you're not saying that.
I'm not saying that you're incorrect. You're saying I'm incorrect. I'm not saying you're incorrect. I'm just saying you haven't had anything like this.
Yes.
Since Dave Keon left St. Mike's.
Correct.
And that might even be a stretch. I might have to go back further. I might have to go to the greatest athlete of the first 50 years, Sixero, to say the last time the Leafs had a youth movement. Like, all of these things were what made Leaf fans smile, like, 2 years ago.
That's 3 first-round losses ago.
Yeah, against really good teams.
That's for damn sure.
And again, even if they make it into the playoffs, they're probably going to lose in the first round to one of the top 2 teams in the National Hockey League.
And 2 of the most motivated teams in the National Hockey League. Tampa got embarrassed in the first round a year ago. Tell me they're not motivated right now. And, oh, yeah, the Bruins lost a Game 7 at home. Tell me they're not motivated going into this postseason. But the guys making 15-9 this year, they're going to out-motivate them. Okay. Sure.
Patrick writes in, by the way, at Peg City P. Patrick, meanwhile in Winnipeg, 6-3-1, last 10 without Little Lowry Buff, etc. Just saying, hashtag, Mike Drop, walk away.
Shout out the Jets. Shovel Day Off might not be done between now and Monday. They're a point back. Shout them out.
Give me some grit. Give me some defense. Dennis Malgin.
So the Panthers are right behind the Leafs for 3rd in the Atlantic, correct?
Panthers are right behind the Leafs for 3rd in the Atlantic, correct?
Okay.
That is correct.
The Panthers send a player to the team they are competing with, Dennis Malgin.
Correct.
Kyle Dubas says, okay, I'll take him.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Dale Tallon running the Florida Panthers, why would you give him a player that's good in this moment? I think there's an angle to this trade that Leaf fans have not really thought about yet. What on earth is Dale Tallon's motivation to give Kyle Dubas a good player at this stage of the season, 2 points behind the Toronto Maple Leafs for 3rd in the Atlantic?
Yeah, the only thing that people are offering up is that Malgin had several times asked for a trade.
That's true.
Yeah.
Any team could have picked him up.
Any team could have picked him up.
Wonder why they didn't. But I'm sure Dale Talon had no trouble sending the Leafs a pretty good player in this head-to-head battle for a playoff spot. Doesn't seem weird to me at all.
We've got a match game for Leafs Nation to vent. We will give that match game to you next segment.
Oh, my God. We got to go next segment?
Yeah, it was already number three trend in Canada because I think Leafs fans wanted to vent. I asked you before we went to break, and you said, how do you drop this on me now? Are the Montreal Canadiens worse off? Coming off a season sweep to the worst team in hockey on what was a terrible collapse by the Habs once again, with Claude Julien saying, I can't put my skates on and go out there and do it for them. Are the Habs somehow worse off than all this angst in Leafland?
1,000%. 1,000%. Look, the Habs are 8 points out of a playoff spot. How many games they play against Detroit this year?
Four.
How many points do they pick up in those four games? Zero. All regulation losses. No three-point game love for the Habs that season series.
I tried to think. Well, maybe one of them was an overtime loss. Nope.
Okay. Checked it.
Yep.
8 points on the table? Didn't get one. Habs are 8 points out of a playoff spot. The reason they are not in this race, the sole reason, the Detroit Red Wings, one of the worst hockey teams I have ever seen. And Andreas Athanasiou has a Northwest Territories plus minus. He's a minus 43.
It's cold.
He's been cold in every sense of the word, McAuliffe.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask me who would I rather be right now, the Habs or the Leafs, it is not a discussion. I know I just went out here and destroyed the Leafs. I'd rather be a Leaf than a Hab right now. Because you couldn't deal with Detroit this year, and Claude Julien thinks he can put on skates and be better than like a third liner. I'm paraphrasing. No question about it, I'd rather be the Leafs. And I have no idea how people keep their jobs in Montreal based on how this is played. How you lose four regulation games to Detroit, and that where you lose eight in a row twice in the season, you lose four straight to Detroit, and that basically skunks you in the playoff race. That is embarrassing. That is worth losing jobs over. Jeff Molson is one of the most patient men I have ever seen on a hockey team in this country.
Yeah, in this country. It's
honestly
true, yeah.
That, it's wild the patience level that man has. And I would much rather be a Leaf than a Hab in this moment. I have no idea what the Habs are doing. And quite frankly, neither do they.
2 minutes, 30 seconds on the clock in this segment. Leon Fairhart. Oilers missing a few players as they face the Bruins. Keep in mind, we do have Elliot Friedman and
Louis DeBrusque.
I was going to say Leon DeBrusque.
From Rexall Place coming up.
Right. Leon Musk joining us.
Leon Monk from Rexall Place is coming up.
Right. Yeah. Louis DeBrusque is going to join us a little later, so keep that in mind as I waste more time here.
You don't waste
Elliot Friedman also coming up. Tyler Toffoli's debut in Vancouver tonight. The Jets get back into the win column, and Scheifele gets back with Wheeler. He seems to rejuvenate something. Chris Phillips has his number retired in Ottawa. You get your pick. 2 minutes, homeboy.
Look, the Jets, I think the Jets are the best story in Canadian hockey. For what they have gone through this year, I mean, we talked to Paul Maurice just last week, head coach of that club. For what they have done, for what they have lost, for the uncertainty that Kevin Cheveldayoff, the GM, and Paul Maurice have seen all year, for them to be a point out of a wild card is stunning to me. And they again, Dylan DeMello is so underrated, that pickup, Tim. I think he's going to help that team a lot. That's a 19-minute-a-guy player on the Sens, maybe not the Jets, but 19 minutes a night he was playing. He wasn't playing terrible hockey. They might not be done. They have some room. The more I'm watching this Jets story, I am absolutely loving it. They're a point behind Arizona. Darcy Kemper's still not back with the Coyotes. The Coyotes will fall out of that spot. They've lost their heart and soul in the crease. So I have great confidence Arizona won't be a playoff team this year. Why not Winnipeg? Why not keep picking up the points? Why not keep Scheifele and Wheeler together? I'm on the Jets bandwagon. Go get them, boys. Go get them.
Can the people tweeting in that the Bruins have also lost to Detroit this year stop because the Bruins are in first and the Montreal Canadiens are out of the playoffs?
You're not seeing that. Are you?
I am seeing that.
Really?
Yeah.
Twitter, you're better than that.
You're better than that.
Stop being not better than that.
You should be better than
you're
that.
You're better than that.
They're in first.
First place. 1-9 of 10. Louis DeBrusque. that of Jake DeBrusk. I'm just trying to connect more dots here.
Is Leon your Hart Trophy winner right now?
Right now, yeah.
Right now, he is.
I don't know how many minus players have won the Hart Trophy in their time. It's a minus 10. But I think he's been so influential. This little stretch here without McDavid, there's certain moments in a season where voters just kind of focus on Tim. This might be one of those for that, well,
everyone.
Leon,
everyone was asking him to drive his own line. And yes. What has he done over the last little while?
Driven
his own line. Yeah. RNH, Kyler Yamamoto, they are putting in work. We'll see if they can continue that tonight. Elliot Friedman coming up. Louis DeBrusk will join us from Northlands Coliseum.
Here we go,
in
Timmy.
Downtown Edmonton.
Let's go.
And your match games. Next, right here on Tim and Sid. If you want to vent, here's your chance. Tim and Sid here on Sportsnet Radio and TV. You ask, you receive, Sid Sixero. I've gone back to 1959-60 to see if a minus player has ever won the Hart Trophy. To this juncture in time, all I've got is Stan Mikita, 67-68. He was a zero in the plus-minus category. Every other winner was A+. Closest, Ovechkin in 2012-2013 was a two. Carey Price makes sense because he's a goalie. That's why he'd be a zero. Mario Lemieux, when he had 161 points, was a plus 10. And my favorite, as I was scrolling down the list of who won, Gretzky, when he won the Hart, was plus 100 in 84-85.
Did Bobby Orr not have a plus 200 year in there, too?
Yeah, but no, it's like plus one. It's one of my favorite stats of all time. It's like plus 124, I believe the number is, in one season. And Larry Robinson had a crazy one. That team was so good. That those numbers, those plus-minus numbers, when your team was that good,
you could approach them from
skewed.
A lot of different
angles. And I remember I looked at the Bobby Orr number of plus 124 and just tried to imagine how many goals they scored and how many were on the power play so you don't get the plus. Mm-hmm. So it was like he would have been on the ice for at most like 30 goals against.
Right? At the most. Like,
yeah.
Good thing the league protected him and his knees.
What? Okay.
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 Okay. Well, you want to have a go at Bobby? Oh, it's the culture. Go ahead.
Guess what you see?
Go ahead. Here's how we slow him down. We make him not have knees anymore.
Match game for Leafs to vent, kids. Go ahead, Leafs Nation.
Oh, this is percolating, McAllister.
Go ahead, rest of Canada.
This is percolating.
This is geared. Now, give us credit here. Producer Thomas Dobby. Our entire crew here. This is geared towards Leaf fans and non-Leaf fans. After last night, Leafs fans are blank. Once again, after last night, Leafs fans are blank. The Filipino divers actually work on this one.
Like drowning in their sorrows? Like, what do you mean? Like just kind of are neck deep in losses.
Discombobulated. Like they are out of control.
Can't find any rhythm.
They are falling into pools of despair. Any one of those things.
Filipino divers were also terrible in the power play.
Relatable.
Just terrible.
Yeah. Practice-like.
Yeah, just
commitment to defense as the commitment to the reverse 3.5 sow cow, or whatever the hell you call it.
How about this one? The Leafs are like the Filipino divers. Whatever they practiced, they forgot.
Pike position. Just looking for that one.
Pike position.
In the pike position.
Did someone put that in your ear, or did you come up with a pike position?
A little bit of both.
All right.
Barry writes in and starts us off on this match game. Once again, after last night, Leafs fans are blank. Barry says, buying Raptors gear.
Hey. Hey-o. You know what? Before you move on, Tim, like the worst week for the Raptors to be off. No distraction.
Craig.
There was no Raptors distraction from
for the
this
Leafs.
Awful Saturday aside, awful Leafs stretch. Just bad timing, Leafs. Bad
Your
timing.
Boy Ronnie Grizz writes in and says, after last night, Leafs fans are seeing the new Ontario license plate better than the Leafs playoff chances.
Who needs to see a license plate at night? The best license plates I've ever seen in my life, you can't see.
Admit
it. It's like art.
Admit it, though. You're hoping that you can get on the 407 and not get charged with that plate.
Dude, I know enough people in town. I don't need to hide my license plate.
What? You got connections for the 407?
I might be in trouble after
that. Oh, my goodness. I need to talk to you a little later on, Six-Zero.
Or you do this thing called go the limit. Don't be a jackass. I'll spread the wealth, McCallum.
Marco writes in and says, after last night, Leafs fans are looking as disheveled as Mel Gibson at the Sens game.
What the hell was Mel Gibson doing at the Sens game last night? He's a huge Chris Phillips fan.
He and your boy Eugene.
So he's shooting a movie in Ottawa? Is that what
Toy.
You're shooting a movie?
I would guess that it's... Is Eugene big in Barbados? I would guess they vacation together.
Eugene, is he big in? I think he is.
No,
yeah.
Eugene owns a bar. I think it's the bar. I think it's in Barbados.
It's called the Melnick. I have no idea.
It's more famous than that. Both of us should know this, being sportscasters. And someone will write in and be mad that we don't
Whatever.
Know
Whatever. I can't know everything.
Someone look up the bar for me in, I believe, Barbados that he owns.
The Patrick... What's it called? The Patrick's House?
See, someone, they don't know. Just look it up.
Someone, like, no one please look it up and stop talking to me like you have an idea. Because I called him on it in my ear, and it got real quiet. So that's why I know he didn't look it up. Just look it
Bert's,
up.
Bert's, that's the name of it. Bert's. And where is it?
It's in Barbados?
Barbados. Bert's Bar, Barbados.
Do you ask Mel Gibson should've to give you that. The Braveheart speech to your hockey team before a game?
We should have, yeah.
That right? Would,
yeah.
Years from now, when you're dying in your bed, would you give all of the days from this one to that one for one chance, just one chance, to defeat Carolina?
That's not bad at the end.
Not bad.
You saved it at the end. I'll give you that one.
Great move.
David writes in and says, waking up and going to work like any other day because we're used to this feeling by now.
That's the most depressing one.
He's got the shoulder shrug emoji. After last night, Leafs fans are waking up and going to work like any other day.
That's so sad.
You got to kill the music on this.
Yeah, that's...
It's way too upbeat.
Wow. I want to give him a hug.
After last night, Leafs fans are waking up and going to work like any other day because we are used to this feeling by now.
Wow.
That's more like it. Thank you, audio. David.
It's a hardcore cello.
Sid Six-Zero. He's going to give you a hug. We got to go to break, Six-Zero. But you, David, Leafs Nation, feel your pain.
It's going to be okay, man.
What?
Adon! I forgot where it was.
And you have that yellow tongue thing again.
Come here.
All right. Six-Zero just leaned into
Sorry. I forgot. Valentine's Day passed.
Elliot Friedman next.
Sorry.
Why is your tongue yellow?
Leafs aren't good.
Time for Tim and Sid. Time for Tim and Sid.
Oh, yeah. It's time for Real Sports Talk with Tim McCallum and Sid Sexero.
Thank you very much, Sheepdogs. Back for another full hour everywhere today on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and Sportsnet Espanol. Elliot Friedman will join us with the latest trade speculation in just a couple of minutes. But before we do that, the match game is right now racing across social media, Timmy. I am assuming you have a couple that you might want to get to.
Muchas gracias, señor Sid.
¿Qué pasa, Tim?
Should I just start again?
Kill the music.
I was going to try and do it in Spanish, and then I realized I don't know how to say after in Spanish.
Sí, señor, Tim. A ver qué pasa, qué might the match game. Tim McAuliffe.
Thank you very much. After last night, Leafs fans are blank. Once again, after last night, Leafs fans are blank. It's really hard to do it when you don't know how to speak the language.
Mucho gusto. I've watched the first two episodes of Narcos. I'm on point. I am on point right now.
Mike writes in and says, after last night, Leafs fans are still planning a parade route.
I like it.
I'm guessing that's not a
Leafs. Hey, Leafs, do me a favor. Don't go up university without cops there. It's going to take a while.
Your boy. Yeah. And there's these things. You know, they go in between the fans and the road.
Grass?
No.
What do you think of that?
You have
what's
like
this thing you're thinking?
You
of?
Have like steel fences.
Steel it's on the tip of my tongue. Guardrails, rails, something like that.
Barriers of some sort. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Si, señor.
Too, yeah.
Barriers are key. Now, Sportsnet, a pilota español.
Also, water and porta potties would be nice.
I love how every word that you know in every language has to do with soccer.
No,
la pelota is the ball.
Afecta la dimensi de Valencia, Uma. Atlanta 4.
Joey Esposito writes in and says, after last night, Leafs fans are Fedzuara Faze.
What the hell does that mean?
Well, apparently, Joey provided us with what exactly it means. Frustrated, embarrassed, deflated. I don't know what that means.
Deflated?
Deflated is probably what he wanted.
I think I know what
stunned,
about.
Wishing this was just a bad nightmare. Ashamed, used to it by now. Ready for rebuild 2.0. Fire Dubas, fire Shanahan, hire Masai to run both franchises. That's what Fedzuara Chef means.
Also acceptable, Kofefe.
A. Diggs writes in and says, after last night, Leafs fans are drinking our sorrows away. And finally, Tyre writes in and says, after last night, Leafs fans are jacked for ball season.
So am I, man. Blue Jays talking about no openers today. I am jacked up. I want to see this pitching staff. I want to see McGuire. I want to see Danny Jansen.
Right.
This team has got my attention. Let me tell you something right now. I cannot wait.
Okay.
The first game this weekend, the first time I hear Buck Martinez say two balls, one strike, I am in the zone for baseball, man. You know what the producer of the show told me earlier today?
What's that?
Having not seen a pitch thrown in spring training,
mm-hmm.
having not seen a pitch thrown in the regular season, you know what Thomas Dobby said to me today? Quote, I feel really good about this team.
So does FanGraphs. Did you see the story in FanGraphs?
No. They feel good about the Jays?
We'll tweet about it.
Okay.
It's interesting. They're not saying the Jays are going to win anything, but they're saying they're remarkably undervalued
right
now.
Don't sleep on them is what they're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anish wants you to do something. Are you ready for this?
I mean, usually for $20, sure, but what does he want?
I was going to revert back to one of our previous tweets, but no, I'm not going to do it. Play the goal song. Cheer everybody up. Hashtag match game. Can Daryl Hall and John Oates do that?
All right, let's try this. Making it worse.
No.
It's not. Making it worse.
No.
Which one was Hall and which one was Oates?
Was the
guy with the mustache?
I don't know. We are uniting the country, though.
Sorry, it's a long file. I got to play this out.
No, you don't. Darren wrote in and said, hello, Montreal fans. You think this season is bad? Try being an Oilers fan for the last 15 years.
Wow.
So we're uniting the country.
in sorrow.
In sorrow.
In sorrow and hatred.
But look, no, they're other parts of the nation are wrapping their arms around each other, finding comfort in other people's misery.
All right. That's why we're here, kids. We are now joined. He never brings us misery. He brings us joy. The author of 31 Thoughts on Sportsnet.ca, Elliot Friedman, for 3 of 31. Brought to you by the next generation GMC Sierra Denali with the world's first available 6-function multi-pro tailgate. Elliot, it is great to see you, sir. Leaf fans are pretty chill today.
Yeah, I could tell. I could feel like the burning going on around our studio last night as we broadcast that game.
Can you feel
by the way,
love?
I've got my Hall & Oates and Squeeze tickets this summer.
Sorry?
So you want to say that out loud?
Hall & Oates and Squeeze and Katie Tunstall are playing in Toronto this summer. You don't know who Squeeze is?
No.
I know I'm really old, really a geezer, but Squeeze was big in the 80s, man.
Squeeze.
Yep.
Katie Tunstall had the song about the horse, right?
I don't know. Got me on that one.
Someone's not as up on their concert.
I don't know too many horse songs. I got to tell you.
Aside
from Old McDonald's.
I'm just going to walk away from this one.
Oh, but in the middle, in the chorus, there's a song. Freach, you guys in that studio last night with Berkey and Jeff, like,
Cool for Cats, Up the Junction, labeled
Tim's not
going to
read every Squeeze
Pulling
song.
Muscles from Michelle.
What? I don't I missed.
So
that.
Are you a fan of Squeeze, or are you going for Hall & Oates?
Those two. I'm not as big in Katie Tunstall. Squeeze and Hall & Oates are where I'm going for.
Another right. nail in my heart.
This goes out to Elliot Freeman. Do you dance at a concert, or are you the cool guy?
I know the answer to this.
No, I don't dance at the concert.
Elliot Friedman and I once went to a Bruce Springsteen concert together. Is,
oh, that's right. That's a story. this song, Berkey hates it, so keep playing it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
True story. Elliot Friedman came up to me years ago and says, I have an extra Springsteen ticket. I go, I can't go. He asked Tim. Tim went. Tim was on Elliot's shoulders for the majority of the concert.
No, you got to. Why would that?
That's
come
how
on,
I remember
nobody
the
believes
Score
that.
Television Network. That's
Freege
how I remember
was on
it.
My shoulders. That's how it went.
No wonder you got shoulder problems.
Hey, he does. Who's shouldering the blame today, Freege?
You ask me this all the time, guys. Like, if they don't make the playoffs, you know, who's going to take the brunt? Like, do you think anyone's getting unscathed, like getting away unscathed if that happens?
But there are tiers to this.
You know, at the end of the day, look, like, you couldn't listen to Keefe after that game last night and not think about Babcock.
Correct.
It's 100% the same stuff that Babcock was saying. And, you know, look, like, the players wanted a change. They got the change. You can talk about, like I think they made the one deal today for Malgin. I think they're definitely looking for bottom six forwards to add some depth. We know they're looking for a right shot D. But the biggest difference between these two teams last night, aside from all those ridiculous passes that Crosby was making, was one team wanted it a lot more than the other one did. You know, Malkin skates off during the warm-up, can't go because he's sick, and Pittsburgh dominated. They won every battle. Like, at some point in time, the will has to match the skill. And it wasn't there last night. It wasn't even close. And they got a rematch tomorrow. And if one team doesn't compete as hard as the other one does, it's not going to matter.
Elliot, you have your ear to the ground as much as anyone in the business. The one thing that we have come to learn about Sheldon Keefe and Kyle Dubas is that they seem to be in sync, that their communication seems to be really good, and that Sheldon Keefe wouldn't say the things that he said last night without having the blessing of Kyle Dubas. Do you think by the end of this week, or even by the last two games, that Kyle Dubas's confidence in the way he was shaping this franchise has been shaken by the way it's gone over the last couple of days?
No, I don't believe that. I think Kyle Dubas believes in his vision. And, you know, the one thing I believe is this is, when Washington won the Cup in 2018, it taught me a lot about growth and perspective, right? There was a time when nobody believed Washington was going to win the Stanley Cup. They didn't have a chance. They were never going to figure it out. They were never going to get there. It took them a long time to get there, but they got there. And how did they get there? They learned. They suffered brutal losses. They went through. They changed coaches multiple times. They eventually got there. They grew up and they got there. They built a team and they got there. And Washington won as much about everything they learned through defeat as opposed to anything else. I think that these guys in Toronto, I would bet on their skill. I really would. And I think they are going to get there eventually. But they're not there now. And the difference between Washington and Toronto is Backstrom was signed for 10 years. Ovechkin was signed for 13 or whatever it is. Like, Toronto's contracts aren't that long. You can't make those contracts that long anymore. But I think Dubas looks at it and says, our guys are going to be like Washington's guys. They're going to get there. Now, they have to get there faster than they did, and they're going to have to learn their lessons quicker than those other guys did. But I don't think that's shaken his core belief, that a team of skill can win once it figures out how to properly merge that skill with everything else they have to do. And I think that that's what he's going to bet on. Now, I do think the team has got to become edgier. I do think the team has got to become meaner. I think it has to be more willing to win battles than it is now.
I think it has to handle better when things go wrong than they do now. But I don't think that means that Dubas doesn't believe in his vision, and I don't think that shakes his belief in this particular group.
Only an idiot would compare this Leafs team to the Washington Capitals.
Or a smart bald man here in the studio.
I did it earlier in the show, and I got ripped for it. So, but you added the caveat about the long-term
deals. Doesn't mean you're wrong.
Let's go back a decade ago, okay? Or even shorter, never mind a decade ago. Let's go back 5 years. Did you ever think the Capitals were going to win the Stanley Cup?
Never.
Yeah. Never. No, I think most of the hockey world felt the same way, and especially fans. They were just, they're not that until they are. And that's kind of the case with a lot of teams, right? If you believe in the talent, no matter what league, no matter what, sometimes you just have to show patience in that talent, and eventually they will get there. It's just hard to do that in the moment.
It absolutely is. 100% it is. I totally get that. And the thing that has changed now in the NHL is that, you know, it's a younger league than ever, and the youngest players get paid more than ever. And with that, expectations come. You know, when these guys are making the money they make, the fans focus on them. They say, okay, you're getting paid for this, now you got to deliver. But it doesn't always mean you're ready right away to deliver. Everybody's got to learn. And I think you bet on your talent. And I know today everybody in Toronto wants to burn down the city. And this season, like if I'm the Maple Leafs, I don't think I'm making rental deals this year. But it doesn't mean I'm not making a more term deal because I believe that this group is going to figure it out. I believe they will eventually figure it out. I just think that it's not happening as fast as anybody would like it to be.
Elliot Friedman here on Tim and Sid. Where does Tyson Barrie fit into what you just said there, Fried? Because you brought up last night, it's intriguing whether the Leafs are playing well or not. This is a guy that just hasn't been what people expected him to be. What are the odds he gets moved regardless of how they look on the ice?
You know, I don't know. I'd hate to give you a number. You know, what I think is, if you go back a couple of weeks, the intel I had, Sid, was that Toronto was going to take the time up until the deadline to figure out what they were going to do with their rentals and if they needed to bring in another D. Now, I think they always looked at it like if they could find a right shot D or a D who could play right side who they could control for a while, they were willing to do that. And this was before CeCe got hurt, and this is before Janssen got hurt. And I think they had multiple balls in the air to say, okay, if we bring somebody in and to make it work cap-wise, we're going to have to move somebody out. What's the value on their guys? Like, look, we saw what happened yesterday. We saw what the value is on rental deals. I think they know that if they put Barrie out there, there'd be interest in him. It hasn't fit this year between Barrie and the Maple Leafs, but that doesn't mean that Barrie's a bad player.
Right.
I think there are people out there who think that Barrie could help them in the playoffs. But the bottom line is, I don't think Toronto's going to give up on their season. And if trading them makes them worse or they can't do anything to make themselves better, I don't see it happening. But if there's another move that comes and it gives them the ability to look, they've lost a bunch of picks. They traded a couple of picks for Campbell and Clifford. We know about the pick they traded with Marleau. I think if they did something else that made themselves strong and they wanted to reacquire picks, I think they know they could do it.
NHL insider Elliot Friedman joining us here on Tim and Sid. It's hard to call the Montreal Canadiens sellers when Shea Weber rushes back to the lineup, but when they get swept by the Detroit Red Wings,
yeah,
you can look at it maybe a little differently today.
Well, I think also they move Scandella, right?
Yeah.
So that tells you everything I think you need to know. Look, I think Bergevin is one of the most intriguing guys because one thing we know, he's not afraid to make a big deal. I think they're going to try to re-sign Petrie as soon as July 1st. I think their plan was to keep Tatar, but some of these prices, and if he gets offered it, I think it might make him think a little bit. You know, the Kovalchuk we all know about. If I was them, I'd trade him and then bring him back if he wanted to come back in the summer. I mean, the Domi one is interesting. Like, I've heard his name out there. I've had people tell me he's not out there. I don't know what to make of that one. You know, he's not afraid. You know, He's shown if he gets what he wants, he'll do it. And I think he's a bit of a wild card on this day.
Elliot Friedman here on Tim and Sid Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. The Canucks had a roller coaster week. Some bad news injury-wise to pick up Tyler Toffoli.
Yep.
I don't know how much better they are. I don't know how much worse they are. I don't mind Toffoli, but obviously they took some hits. If your other teams in that Pacific, specifically Calgary or Edmonton, and you see a move like that, does that nudge you towards jumping into the trade market a little bit, or is it not that significant a move where it would indulge Ken Holland and Brad Treliving to do that?
You know, I think the one team that may look at what other groups are doing around them and say, okay, we're going to do something because I think they want to anyway, is Boston. I don't think Calgary and Edmonton are looking at Vancouver and saying, okay, they did that, so we have to do something. I do think Boston's looking around at what Tampa did, what Pittsburgh did, what Washington did, and I think they can win the cup anyway with their group. You know, so I think they're going to do something. I think they're just waiting to see what the piece is going to be. You know, with Calgary and Edmonton, like with Calgary, I'm not sure I'd be doing a rental. Like, I think at one time Calgary was in on Toffoli, but they weren't paying that price for him. And if I was them, I don't think I would either. Edmonton, I think, has interest in Pageau. I'm just not sure they're going to be able to make it work with all those injuries. And also, Edmonton is very careful about what they'll pay for a rental. I think they were willing to do a first rounder for Blake Coleman, but I don't think they're willing to do it for Jean-Gabriel Pageau. I think that they have a plan. And they want to stick to that plan, and I think that's the smart move. You know, you look at that list of guys, hey, the prices have been pretty expensive. You know, unless you think you're getting a steal because some team gets desperate because it can't get their guy off the bus right now, you know it's going to cost you to do something. If I was Calgary, I don't think I'd be doing rentals, at least unless it was an inexpensive rental, like a fourth or fifth rounder. I'm not giving up a second and a prospect if I'm the Flames. I don't, you know, Vancouver hasn't made the playoffs in 5 years. I think they think their team's pretty good. I think their position's a little bit different than the Flames. And I think the Oilers have a plan, and they're going to stick to that plan, and I think that's the right move.
Elliot Friedman here on Tim and Sid. What about Wayne Simmonds? Is there a chance that he moves?
Yes, I think there's a chance he moves. You know, Vancouver, Jim Benning said yesterday he's not that interested in trading any more picks. I think if, you know, if the Devils had interest in a player like maybe Yuval Levy, I could see the Canucks trying that. I do think they have interest. I think there will be interest in Simmonds. I think, you know, in New Jersey, you got to keep somebody, don't you? I mean, I think that's more likely than not they keep Palmieri, but I think teams are going to try. But at some point in time, you got to keep veteran players for those guys to play with.
Reed, before we go, especially yesterday when the flurry of moves happened, I find on Twitter, and I was guilty of it as well, one of the knee-jerk tweets is, while the insiders won't have a lot to talk about on Monday come deadline, I did send out a tweet along those lines. Am I a D-bag for sending out the tweet, or do you get the joke as well, considering you are an insider in our business? Should I have done that is what I'm asking you.
Sid, I already know you're a D-bag. Okay, it's not for that. No, I got no problem with that.
Okay.
I got no problem with that.
All right.
You know, I know you're, like I said, we've worked together for a long time. It'd take a lot for you to offend me.
No, I appreciate that, kind of. But it is a long day. I wanted to ask the question. We're colleagues.
That's true.
Yeah. I just wanted to, you know.
I got no problem with that.
All
I
right.
No problem.
Well,
with
enjoy
that.
The Gesundheit concert this summer or whatever you're going to see. And hopefully things settle down and Monday's
it's
a nice
squeeze,
active day.
Not
Sorry.
Sneeze.
Whatever.
Okay,
right.
It's squeeze.
That's why you're the
sneeze.
Insider.
Yeah.
Elliot Friedman. Thanks, man.
Take care, guys.
Elliot Friedman. He's on the panel tonight. Hell of a game tonight. Boston Oilers live on Sportsnet this evening as I push through all the insults that were thrown my way in the last 30 seconds. And deservedly so.
He's going to see Squeeze.
Yeah, he's bearing the lead. He's not going to see these guys.
Hold on. Just hit the stop button.
I have to let it play out. I don't know how to do it.
There's a button.
Oh, I got it. Go.
He's going to see Hall & Oates and Squeeze.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to take his insults that bad.
I got you, Timmy.
Like, come on, man.
You know what? With that said, I know he left. Screw you, Freed.
That's got to be the softest concert in the history of concerts.
Tim, ask me a question. What's the number one trending topic in Canada right now? Hashtag match game.
We'll do more of them next. Sorry, what else?
He is going to see Hall & Oates and Squeeze. I don't have to take his...
Why is Assange trending?
You know.
Sesheru, McAuliffe, or Mikhalef. This is Tim and Sid, Sportsnet TV and radio. Do you think anyone knows what I just said?
My name and your name. I think they're up to speed. Yeah.
Well, I got the McAuliffe part.
Yeah.
But when I went Mikhalef, do you think people actually know that's how you pronounce my last name?
I pray they would know. Listen,
And Sesheru, I don't know. Like, am I getting it right?
Yeah, of course. You're actually getting it. Yeah, Sesheru. That's exactly how you pronounce it. You can also pronounce it as awesome and you demand. And what is that?
What it is right now is trending number one in Canada. If you look right now, Canada Trends, the number one trend in all of Canada, Match Game. Thank you, Tim and Citizens. Thank you, those who have no idea who we are but are just answering something on the internet. We appreciate all of you.
You guys are the best.
Hashtag Match Game, number one trend in Canada. Why? Because we asked you this. After last night, Leafs fans are blank. Once again, after last night, Leafs fans are blank. Your boy Chuck writes in, and Chuck says, after last night, Leafs fans are getting record-breaking amounts of ankle sprains from jumping off the bandwagon. Ha ha! You know what I'm saying? Except you got to tape your ankles if you're going to jump on and off that bandwagon.
Kind of, I think that reference is kind of done.
You think so?
But I appreciate Chuck Wagon's approach.
All right, how about this one?
I appreciate it.
See if this reference is done for you. John, who goes by the name of at Scarborough J.
Hold on.
After last night, Leafs fans feel like the Spanish announce team in the WWE.
Oh, my God. It's like, because their table always gets destroyed in a pay-per-view, right?
Right.
Poor Pablo Guerrero and the other guy. I don't know who the Spanish team is. I'm not Jimmy Corderas here. All right?
I don't even know if it's Pablo Guerrero, but I'm just going to nod and
smile.
It was
Tito Santana for a while. I don't know who's currently, but I guarantee you the reference is spot on because that Spanish announce table takes more beatings than like a Mike Tyson opponent when he was 23. Like that table has no chance of survival. John, that is a solid reference. Shout out Tito Santana.
I know that you were just shouting out Latino names, but is it Carlos Cabrera?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Is it Carlos Cabrera?
All right. No.
Is Corderas in the building? Are they taping Aftermath today? Like, can we ask?
There's this thing called Google. No, if you ever heard of it.
Google's stupid.
After last night, Leafs fans are happy the Hall of Fame is in Toronto so we can see what the Stanley Cup looks like.
Hey-o.
That from Terrence.
That's because they haven't won a cup since 1967.
Raps writes in and says, after last night, Leafs fans are dusting off the paper bags.
So what's more likely to happen tomorrow at Scotiabank if things go south again? Wearing paper bags on your head?
Waffles.
Waffles?
Waffles.
Or jerseys thrown on the ice?
Waffles.
Is it waffles?
I think they check for waffles these days.
I pray they check for waffles.
After the famous waffle incident, I heard that people were being checked for waffles.
Can metal detectors pick up waffles walking
through it? It's just a scent. It's just someone going, I smell waffles.
I don't want to be mean. I've seen some security guys in my life who were very good at that. Hey, how you doing? Is that a steak?
After last night, Leafs fans are. Deeds writes in and says, still better than the Astros.
Yeah, you know what? The Leafs have their ethics.
Still better than the Astros. Hashtag just saying.
They don't resort to cheating to be good.
And finally, after last night, Leafs fans are. Oliver writes in and says, Leafs fans are still asking Sid to proclaim that the Leafs will not make the playoffs. And he provided the reason why he wants you to proclaim once again, because you've already done it.
I've done this once already in the show.
That the Leafs will not make the playoffs because he added the hashtag, he picked Philly. And for those who don't remember what the hashtag he picked Philly means, it means Sid may have given Leafs fans hope.
I got to do this.
As a friend.
I feel it deep in my loins.
As a friend.
Here we go. You ready? We're doing it here. The winner of Game 7, Sunday night.
No, don't do it.
Will be Philadelphia.
Oh, thank God.
Wait, thank God. Did he pick the Sixers?
Guys, he took Philly! the Sixero curse used for good. Once again, would you like to weigh in on what's happening to the Toronto Maple Leafs this year?
Okay. We'll move to this. Kill the music. I don't know if there's 30 people waiting outside either. I have no idea what you guys are planning here. Okay, confirm, no. That was the quickest confirmation of the show. The Toronto Maple Leafs on this February 18th.
19th.
Whatever. Is it 19th?
19th.
Hold on a second. February 19th, year of our Lord, will not make the playoffs.
Yeah! Woo! 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 Yeah! Woo! Yeah!
One, there's one guy in the studio.
There's one person that came in.
Yeah. Where's the? Did you bring a horse?
No horse.
No horse.
No. Right. Don't talk. Get out. Don't talk. Get out.
Still awesome.
Don't talk.
Still awesome.
That's going to get us a Canadian Screen Award nomination. Next year.
There you have it. Yeah. 6-0. The Leafs will miss the playoffs.
I don't even know who that
You're
was.
You're welcome, Leaf fan.
Is that his first day? You're fired.
I actually like him. Good kid.
He legit, he has the balls on his first day to run in here alone?
Yeah.
On this, the most watched television and most listened to radio show this hour in Canada?
Louis DeBrusque,
send it back in. Send it back in.
In Edmonton. We will discuss the Bruins and the Oilers. I like that kid.
Send Raul.
I don't care what his name is.
Come back in, Raul.
Hey, what's your name?
What's your name? Herbie. That's a lie. It's a terrible name.
Kirby.
Kirby, whatever.
Herbie. But I'll be like Herbie. And welcome back to Tim and Sid. We have a new star.
Stop.
Luke writes in.
Stop it.
Please make hashtag purple shirt hype kid the regular hype guy at Tim and Sid. A purple shirt hype kid has a name, Luke, and Haley already knows it. Tim and Sid and Kirby. Hashtag best first day ever. There's one guy in the studio.
There's one person that came in.
Yeah. Where's the horse? Did you bring a horse?
No horse.
No horse.
No horse. Don't talk. Get out. Don't talk. Get out.
Still awesome. He did answer the question. Moments ago in studio, Sixero predicting the Leafs would not make the playoffs after he predicted that Philadelphia would win game 7 of the Eastern Conference semifinals.
And my guy interning on his first day here at Sportsnet runs into the studio by himself to celebrate in a purple shirt.
Awesome.
And just hired an agent, apparently.
He's wearing a golf shirt.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, it's a golf shirt. Louis, what did you wear on your first day?
Me?
Yeah. What did you wear?
Probably an AC/DC t-shirt. Or something involving Luis Figo. Louis DeBrusque is in Edmonton. Oilers taking on the Bruins tonight. First place v. first place. There are so many angles here. I don't know where to begin.
Juicy.
Mr. DeBrusque is joining us ringside.
Not his first day.
At Rogers Place. Louis, should we be kind to an intern on his first day who has the stones to run into his studio by himself? I should be kinder to him, shouldn't I?
I don't know. It depends. You like him?
He doesn't know him.
Just, I don't know him at all.
He's going to be like mean to a 16-year-old kid for no apparent reason after he helps us out on the show. 6-0.
Oh, okay, then that'd definitely be good to him. I was taking that the wrong way. I thought he was coming in without something, but okay, yes.
No.
Okay. Then be good to him.
Well, I didn't give him my blessings, but somebody did. That's a story for another
day. That's because he was making fun of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever.
All right, sorry. We'll get this back on the tracks here for Louis. Louis, let's start with the Oilers here. What's the bigger storyline in Edmonton right now? McDavid's status, Draisaitl's play, or what is Ken Holland going to do between now and Monday? What's
injuries.
The big story?
What about injuries?
All the above. You know, I think it's kind of compounded up the injuries right now, so that's obviously going to make the trade deadline that much more interesting for Ken Holland. Is he going to do something to try and bolster this lineup down the stretch? But for me, when I talk about the Oilers right now, it's always about Leon Draisaitl. I just think he's taken his game to a whole new level, and he's playing the best hockey of his career, in my opinion. And we had a real good conversation, Kevin Quinn and I, this morning with him. And listen, Pavel Datsyuk was a guy that he admired growing up. He wants to be that 200-foot player. He wants to be defensive and offensive, and he's a big guy. So he likes players like Kopitar that he compares himself to. But what he's doing offensively right now with Yamamoto and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins on that top line with McDavid out is really impressive. And they have a lot of confidence right now. The statement he made yesterday talking about the Bergeron line, he said, listen, our line's pretty good too, so we shouldn't be afraid of that line. I mean, that says a lot from Leon Draisaitl, saying, listen, go ahead. If you want to go head-to-head, we can do that. But if you don't go head-to-head with us, look out, because we're a force.
I don't think this is a prisoner of the moment thing. And I know that talk radio and shows like us on TV oftentimes get caught as prisoners of the moment. He's 13 points clear of David Pastrnak, who he will face tonight. Yeah. Are we talking Hart Trophy when it comes to Leon Draisaitl, if he can give this up?
Absolutely. Why not? You know, when you look at this team and the playoff record that they've had over the last 13, 14 years, it's been one time in the playoffs. So if they get in there, they make the playoffs, and Leon Draisaitl leads the National Hockey League in points, absolutely he has to be considered for the Hart. There's no question about it. He's had that type of a season. I don't think he got the respect early on playing with Connor McDavid. I think you look at that tandem, you say, okay, they're a great duo. But he complimented McDavid as much as McDavid complimented him. And they were an awesome tandem. Maybe the best duo. Well, I agree, the best duo in the National Hockey League when they're together. But separated for a while before McDavid got hurt. And now Draisaitl just taking that line on his shoulders with Yamamoto and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Two excellent players that are playing well with him. He just looks completely different. And it's just the maturity thing, I think, with Leon Draisaitl. I just think he's come into his own and said, listen, I can do this. I can play this way. And he's hungry. He's really hungry to get this team back into the playoffs, along with the rest of the team. They're playing the right way. So, yeah, no question he can be considered for the Hart. And if he does what I said I think he can do, then he should get it.
You know, it's so hard to preach patience, especially in Canadian markets. But is Kyler Yamamoto the poster boy for a little bit of patience here?
Yeah, you know, he suffered a couple injuries, too, which set him back. But I think there's nothing wrong with maturing a bit. I don't think there's anything wrong with seasoning down the American Hockey League and learning how to be a professional hockey player. It's an entirely different animal coming from junior hockey, stepping in, living on your own, playing a man's game. But I think he's put the work in. He has that tenacity. Listen, around here they're nicknaming him the Honey Badger. You hear that thrown around quite a bit, and it really does suit him because that's the way he plays the game. He goes up against guys that are bigger than him all the time, but he never backs down. He's relentless, he's fearless, and he's high-end skilled too. I don't want that to get overlooked when you talk about Yamamoto. He makes very good plays in tight very quickly. He complements Nugent-Hopkins and Draisaitl on that top line. Listen, he's been a real bonus coming up and playing the way he's played. 18 points in 18 games. He's allowed them to keep Draisaitl and McDavid separated, which just makes them a deeper team and makes them that much harder to match up against. It'll be exciting when McDavid gets back to see how they distribute the lines and who they put with who, but I don't think they're touching that line for right now because it's just too hot.
Yeah.
Louis DeBrusque here on Tim and Sid. Oilers-Bruins tonight live on Sportsnet. That is a tasty dish of a matchup, and he will be on headset for that one. Louis, you know, there have been a couple of coaches in Edmonton who've had Leon Draisaitl. And I know Draisaitl put up numbers last year, but playing at this level, we haven't seen it before. Kyler Yamamoto, he's had a couple of coaches in Edmonton. We haven't seen a guy who's gotten Kyler Yamamoto playing at this kind of level before. Dave Tippett, how much credit does that man deserve for these stories specifically?
I think he deserves a lot. I've always liked his demeanor. You know, Dave Tippett, when you watch the way he's coached over the past, how he communicates with players, he's not a screamer, he's not a yeller, he's one of those guys that leads with, you know, I want to say a soft touch. He says, listen, this is what I expect of you. He puts it right out there. If you're not going to play this way for me, then you're not going to play. I think the players respect that. It doesn't mean that he's not intense. If you watch him on the bench, you can't hide some of his facial expressions sometimes. He's a very competitive, intense individual. But I think he's always had that knack of communication with players, and he finds a way to get the best out of players. And if you look over the course of his career, it's not just the top players. It's the middle tier and lower tier players that he seems to bolster up to be the best that they can possibly be. That makes your team that much stronger. he was dealt some tough hands in Arizona when he was there. You know, they weren't great teams. He had to make the best of it. He had to kind of put things together, make sure that he played a structured system that everybody could buy into. He's implemented that here. And, yes, there's been coaches before that have tried this with this team, but I think the players, too, were ready for this. This is the perfect timing with Ken Holland coming in, with Dave Tippett stepping in as coach, and the players were ready to take that next step and say, okay, maybe it's time we start to do this and play a certain way. It's been inconsistent at times throughout this year, but this team has always found a way to step back in and win big games when they need to and continue to stay in those standings and in the playoffs. It's been impressive, and Dave Tippett's a big part of it.
We only got a minute left here, but we would be remiss if we left out the Boston Bruins. And listen, I know that David Pastrnak doesn't play with chopped liver, but he has improved each and every season in the National Hockey League. How does he continue to evolve? 42 goals, 82 points in 60 games.
You know, he's an incredible talent. You know, when you watch him, and I watch him a lot, I watch every game the Bruins play. And for David Pastrnak, for me, not only individually skilled, but he plays very well with others. That trio, Marchand, Bergeron, and Pastrnak, they don't even look where each other are. The chemistry they have that's developed over the last few years is incredible. But for Pastrnak, listen, he's a shooter. He loves to shoot the puck. He'll blast it from anywhere. Accurate shot, has a lot of confidence with the puck on his stick. There's a swagger about him, and there always has been, but don't forget, he's an extremely skilled hockey player. And I think what people maybe don't realize about Pastrnak is how strong he is. He's got big legs. He's strong. He's powerful. He can beat you with speed. He can beat you with finesse. He's not afraid to get a little bit in the dirty areas as well and play that type of a game. So that's overlooked in his game a bit, I think. But that shot that he possesses, boy, that one-timer on the power play, it's like an Ovechkin shot. It might be different the way he releases it, but it's potent, it's accurate, and it works for him.
It's unbelievable. He's improved like every season in the National Hockey League. Goals, points, shot percentage, everything.
He's 23 years old, man.
Yeah.
It's his sixth season. He's 23 years old. Just scary. I mean, it's scary.
Four straight seasons of 30 or more. He's going to score 50 this year, I believe. I mean, listen, he's only eight away. I don't see him not scoring 50 this year with the way that he's playing and the opportunities that he gets in a game. Not only 5-on-5, but especially the power play, one of the best in the National Hockey League. They look for him a lot, and he produces. He comes up big when he needs to with that shot. I don't see it changing anytime soon. He can release it from different areas. He's got a real good wrister, too. We always talk about the slap shot, but that wrist shot that he possesses, it comes off the stick hot as well. Goalies have a hard time reading it. But, yeah, it's been impressive to see how he's gotten better each and every year. And, again, that line, the perfection line, when they play together and they're on, boy, oh, boy, are they hard to handle.
Louis, we really appreciate that. We know he came in a little early for us, and we really appreciate you doing it.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys.
All right, there's Louis DeBrusque from Edmonton getting set for a pretty good matchup, Oilers-Bruins.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Scotiabank Wednesday.
Because Louis does that a lot.
Yeah,
like, we're not in the same time zone as Edmonton, because I learned that in school.
Good.
But whenever we ask him to come on, it's not it's a little earlier trip for me, guys. It's none of that.
No, he doesn't.
Louis helps out every time, and people have lives, and obviously you can't always do that. He always does that. Shout out Louis DeBrusque, who's also a pretty damn good analyst as well.
Time for a break. When we come back, we'll finish off the show with what we missed and maybe update the penis biting from France next. Did you forget about that?
I did, but boy, did you remind me. I had some.